Father, together we lift your servant before you. We ask you, the Lord, you will touch him and you will bring out what you have in store for your people today. We know that, Lord, as a church, we will never be the same again, because your word declared that anyone who receives a prophet receives a prophet's reward. Let our reward not be taken from us. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please, you can have your seat. Amen. With a hand clap to the Lord, I want us to just invite our senior pastor.
Hallelujah. Amen. God is a good God. Your all the time is very weak. I say God is a good God. And all the time, amen and amen. Well, it's good to see all of you again. It's always a joy to be here. And I'm happy to see all the old faces. It means that you are still in tune. And I'm happy to see some new faces as well. It also means that you are growing. It means you are not barren. Hallelujah. The worst thing that can happen to anybody is to be barren. You know, not to be able to bear fruit. Hallelujah. But when we see signs of fruitfulness, we know that we are giving God the glory. Amen. The Bible says that we should bear fruit so that our fruit will remain. Amen. The Bible says that by this, men will know that you are my disciples, that you bear fruit. Hallelujah. So when we see growth, when we see increase, when we see new people desiring to know the Lord, is a sign that God is with us. And it's also a sign that God is being glorified. Hallelujah. But I'm happy to be here. It's always a joy. You know, when you have a baby and the baby is growing and you go away and then you come back and you see the baby is still okay, still growing. It's always a joy. Hallelujah. And sometimes it's difficult to explain the joy, but when I cast my mind back many years ago, and to see that we are still here, we've not gone under. Amen. We've not been vanquished from the system. We are still here. Many said we could not survive, but we are still here. Hallelujah. It shows that God keeps to his word. It also shows that it is he who is building his church, and the gate of hell will never prevail against it. Hallelujah. And we must count ourselves privileged to be part of what God is doing in this place. You know, Pastor Frank said something. We are living in very dangerous times. And we need to belong to a place where when God comes or when Jesus comes, he will be able to pat us and say, "You good and faithful servant, well done, come into my rest." We also need to understand the very foundations of our faith. Hallelujah. We don't have to run after every wind of doctrine. The Bible says that in the last days, many will have itchy ears. There are a lot of itchy hearers in the body of Christ today. Hallelujah. People want to be told, you know, it's very, very easy to make a fool out of someone. Do you know that? Oh yeah, it's easy. It's very easy. And many people allow themselves to be made fools out of. You'll be amazed how a very good-looking, intelligent, smart, you know, person, I don't want to say woman or man, but person, can easily become something else. You know, can easily begin to believe in something else. Can easily be doing something. You know, because he or she has been deceived. Because he or she had itchy ears. It's very easy. You know, the Bible says that the Bible says he who thinks he stands should take heed lest he what? He falls. You know, and many people think, as for me, I can never be deceived. But you'll be amazed how they are easily deceived into thinking that, you know, they can become somebody overnight. Into thinking that they can also do something overnight. Deception. Because we have itchy ears. And you see, the weapon the enemy is using these days, he doesn't come in black and white. Because when you see black, you know it's black. When you see white, you know it's white. But he comes like a snake. A snake is very dangerous. You know, and they are smart. You know, when you see a snake, everybody wants to kill a snake. Whether it's poisonous or not poisonous. If a snake should appear now, everybody, either people will run, some will run, some will pick something to kill it. They have the most enemies in the world. Snakes. When you see a lion, you will run. You wouldn't attempt to kill it, will you? But when you see a snake, you want to kill it. And yet they have been able to survive and live with us all these years because they are smart. You know, the Bible says we should be wise as what? Because serpents are very smart. They can live with you and you will never know that they hate you. Hallelujah. And so the fact that you are still here and serving God, the fact that you are still not engaged in any strange thing, amen, you are not being told to do something weird out of scripture. You know, today in many places they tell them to do weird things. Those of you who are on Facebook, I'm not on Facebook often, but those of you who receive all some of these, you know, clipses and WhatsApp thing and all that, you know, there was a place that the people were asked to go out and chew grass, and they were doing it. Can you imagine human beings with brains? Because they have itchy ears. Because somebody is telling them they can quickly become rich without following God's principles. Do you understand? Somebody will be, you know, some place you go, they will ask you to drink oil. Oil. The anointing is in the oil. And you will find people drinking. Doctors, lawyers, intelligent people, smart people, white, black. See, fools are not only from a specific race. Fools are found everywhere. Huh? So long as you have unbelievers everywhere, you will find fools everywhere. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You see, they'll be drinking things. They'll be doing things, strange things. You know? And these are all signs of the end time. Hallelujah. But we thank God that we want to stick to the basics. Amen. Amen. Jesus loves me, this I know. Read my Bible, pray, believe God for his word, trust God, be consistent, be perseverant, don't give hope, not running from place to place, sticking to the word of God, hearing the message of the kingdom, Christ-centered, heavily bound, no problem. I'm grateful to God. Hallelujah. I'm grateful to God. So keep the good fight of faith and don't let the devil deceive you. He's the deceiver. The Bible says that, you know, he comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. That is the assignment of the devil. Amen. Wherever you are seeing destruction, division, killings, you know, the devil is in operation. Amen. And so don't let the devil deceive you into anything that will not glorify God. Amen. Fight every spirit of the devil through prayer and through wisdom. You know, and sometimes physically you have to prevent certain things from happening. Hallelujah. You see, I was telling somebody the other day that God works through people. Amen. God would always use people to carry out his assignment. The devil also will use people to carry out his assignment. Amen. You will never see a creature with long horns and red eyes and curved nose here amongst us. The devil will not come to us like that. Are you understanding? He will use entities, bodies with hands and with minds. He will use people who will allow themselves to be used. And God will use people. So sometimes we have to confront the devil in people. Are you understand what I'm saying? As much as you receive people who have the Spirit of God, who want to know God and want to serve God, you have to confront people who allow the devil to fill their hearts and not play around them. Amen? Don't be more righteous than Jesus. Don't be more righteous than God. Don't play around people who allow themselves to become objects of satanic operations. There are people like that. Amen. At best, you can deal with them afar off. Stay away and pray that God will deliver them. Amen. So we are living in dangerous times. You know, always create an atmosphere that will build your faith up. Am I talking to somebody today? Don't put yourself under unnecessary pressure. You know that this particular group of people, when you hang around them, your faith will be tampered with. You will begin to doubt. You will begin to question the goodness of God. Don't be around that environment. You are believing God for a miracle. A miracle is something that is unusual. So generally, people will always speak against miracles. They will always say things that are opposite to miracles. Amen? And so for you to believe God for a miracle, you need to surround yourself with people in an environment that would help you keep on believing and not doubting. Hallelujah. If you want to stay away from sin, you have to be around people who would help you and discourage you from walking in sin. Are you hearing me? You see, most of us have forgotten about these basic principles of really walking in victory as a believer. And because we don't keep the basic principles, we find ourselves in unnecessary problems. And we find the devil bashing at us all the time because we are at the wrong place, at the wrong time, with the wrong people, doing the wrong things. When we could easily find ourselves at the right place, at the right time, with the right people, doing the right thing. Amen. Let us think as Christians. Praise the Lord. And let us be bold to declare who we are. Amen. I tell people these days, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. You see, that I'm not ashamed of the gospel is not necessarily to stand out and preach all the time, but is to declare the mind of God on subjects that matter. Amen? Because people today are proud declaring what they believe and what they stand for and what they can do and whatever it is. We don't have to be afraid to tell people what we believe based on the word of God. Amen? There are so many things that are being discussed today in the world. Let us stand out and be Christians. Amen. Hallelujah. I know that this month you are working or you are discussing or talking about talents, isn't it? Talents and how to operate in your talents. Amen. And I believe that it's one of the greatest things that every one of us needs to identify. It would be sad for any of us to be taken from the surface of the earth without having to identify our talents, and much more to use it, because talents are meant to be used. Amen. The worst that can happen to any of us is to have an ability and not be able to use it, and not be able to manifest it so it can be a blessing both to us, our loved ones, our church, and our community. It is the worst that can ever happen to any of us. Knowing that you could do something and not exercise it. But you see, you can only exercise what you know. If you don't know it, you can never exercise it. But I thank God that He is a God who gives us the ability to identify through gatherings like this, through teachings, through training, through assignments, through specific, you know, engagements. We identify the talent, our dreams, our purposes in life, and we are helped to be more effective. Hallelujah. Because if we ever have to give an account of ourselves, and we tell whoever we are to give the account to that we didn't use our talent, we will be described as what? Wicked people. We'll be described as irresponsible. We'll be described as useless. And finally, we will be punished for not using our talent. We would give an account of what we were supposed to be here on earth that we never did or become. And so it's very, very important that as we journey on this path, that we ask the Lord on a constant basis, Lord, what am I here for? Why am I the way I am? What do you have for me to do? What contribution can I give to society? What must I do to bring glory to you? Because God has placed in each and every one of us something that can draw people to the kingdom. There is something in you and in me that God has placed so we can fulfill our assignment. God did not allow us to come to the world for nothing. He made us for a purpose. Hallelujah. He saved you for a reason. And if you don't know anything at all about what God intends for you, you should read Mark 16, where we are told to go out and make what? Disciples of nations. Where we are told to lay hands on the sick. Where we are told to cast out devils. Where we are told to preach the gospel. That is an assignment that every one of us have been given to do. Now, we may do it in different ways, but we have been given talents and abilities that would enhance, that would bring about this great commission that God has given every believer. Hallelujah. But this morning, or this afternoon rather, before I run off, I just want us to look at Matthew 25. I'm sure that in the course of the month, whilst you have been looking at this question of talent, I'm sure that you have come across this scriptures. At least, I must be very sure that you have read it somewhere along the line, because people don't talk about talent without... Pastor Frank, is it true? You've read it. Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 15. It says, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. And when he had received the 5 talents, went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained 2 and other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful by a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he that had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not sown. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that had 10 talents. For unto everyone that had shall be given, and he that shall have abundance, but from him that had not shall it be taken away even that which he had. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that a man went out on a journey. Before he did that, he called servants and gave them talents. He gave them something to do. And I believe that he did this based on their abilities, based on what he knew they could do. This is exactly what God has called all of us. God gives us talents and gifts based on our abilities. We cannot all be the head. Hallelujah. We cannot all be the hands or the fingers. We cannot all be everything. We are specialized people when it comes to God's kingdom. Amen. Now, having said that, God expects us to produce according to our talents. God does not expect the same from all of us, but God expects us to produce. Amen. In John 15, we are told that the branch that does not bear fruit is cut off and thrown into what? Into the fire. Amen. In John 15, we read further down, and the Bible says that, you know, if we abide in him and he abides in us, then we can do what? Ask anything in his name and he will do it for us. And we are also told that it is the branch that abides in that bears fruit. We are told that if we bear fruit, we glorify God, and whatsoever we ask of the Father, he will do it for us. So bearing fruit is a very crucial thing in the life of the believer. But we do not bear fruit out of nothing. We are given specific talents that enables us to bear the corresponding fruits. So if God gives you 10 talents, He expects you to produce something that is corresponding to the 10 talents. Amen? And that is why it can be very fatal or very, very dangerous for any of us to begin to compare ourselves to one another. Amen? And say, well, he's got a ministry of singing, so I got to sing by all means. He's got a ministry of healing, so I have to be a healing evangelist by all means. We have to find out the gift or the talent that God has given us and correspondingly bear fruits that are related to that gift. Amen. The Bible says that the one that had 5 talents produced a corresponding interest or profit. And the one that had 2 did the same. And you realize that for all of them, God said, or the master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in what? In little. And what else? Now you are capable. Now you are ready to take care of much. Amen? So when God gives us the gift, He expects us to use the gift. He expects us to bear fruit out of the gift that He has given us. And when we have bore the fruit, God will now pat us on the back and tell us how faithful we have been and how well we have done. Will somebody say amen? Amen. Will somebody say amen? Amen? Now, so it's very crucial. The talent that God gave us is in line with our fruit bearing. That means we must bear fruit. We must do something. We must add up to the kingdom. And I've been doing a series of teachings in Copenhagen, and we have been looking at, you know, the reasons why we must bear fruit. And not only that, we're also looking at the hindrances to bearing fruit, like barrenness and other things. But this afternoon, I just want to briefly share with us the fact that in our exercising our gifts, or in our using our gift, there are certain things that we need to have at the back of our minds. In our desiring to see the kingdom of God established, in our desiring to see God move in the midst of us, we need to develop certain mindsets, certain mentalities. Hallelujah. Otherwise, we will not be able to fulfill in this present world the very outcome expected of us in exercising the gift. There are about 3 main things that this afternoon I want us to look at if we ever want to make our talents worthy. Because you see, there's one thing having a talent and another thing making the talent profitable. All the servants that were given whatever it was had talents. They were all given talents. But the talents were useful only for those who used it, who increased the talent, who made it possible, who were profitable with the talent. So you can have a gift, you can have a talent, you can have an ability and still be unprofitable if you do not exercise its use. And I believe strongly that the Church of Christ today needs to come to that place of using or utilizing the gifts that God has given us, because God has given us so many gifts and talents. And we must all find ways and means by which we can make these gifts profitable, by which we can allow them to affect people. If you believe, say amen. Now, one of the ways by which you and I can use our gift or see fruits or make our gift profitable is when we have that mentality of drawing people or making our gift affect people by whatever means. Now, in the book of Luke chapter 14, we are told of a man who invited friends to a dinner. And, you know, the friends started giving reasons, excuses for not coming, for not being able to come. And what happened was that when the man realized that the friends were giving excuses for not coming, he called his servants and asked them to go and do what? Invite other people to come. And so in Luke 14 and 23, it says, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. One of the ways by which you and I can exercise our gift to profit is when we have the mindset of compelling. When we have a compelling mindset, a mindset that does not give up on the outcome of the use of our talents. A mindset that says we will not give up until we see increase, until we see the fruits of our input. And this is exactly what happened. That when the man prepared that feast and the supper and invited his friends to come, and they did not come, he had to now send servants to go, not just to ask them to come like he did to the others, but he said, compel them to come. This is a mindset that I believe today's 21st century church must have, a mindset of compelling people, a mindset of letting people understand that they have no other choice than to be part of what God is doing. You see, you can only compel someone when you yourself is convinced of that which you are providing. When you yourself is convinced of the gift and the ability that you have, then you'll be able to compel someone, because you know that when that person gets a taste of your talent, when he gets a taste of your knowledge, when he gets a taste of what you have to offer, it will by all means make a difference in his or her life. But you must have a compelling mentality. The Greek word for that word compel is anakazo. It's to compel people to come in. Now, if we want to bear fruit, if we want to increase, if we want to proclaim the gospel, if we want to expand the kingdom of God, then it's so important that we compel people. If we want our gift and our talents to have that effect that we want it to have, then we must have a compelling spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We know that without asking people without convincing people in the age that we live in today, I mean, it's going to be very difficult for people to really follow. It's a very busy world we live in today. It's a very complicated world. It's a world that is full of so many excuses. It's a world that is full of so many, arguments. And because of that, we cannot just exercise our gift the normal, traditional way. We cannot be, we cannot be refined in the way that it becomes negative. We must have an attitude or an approach that says, I know what I have. It is good for you. Amen. I was reading a book and it was talking about, how that people who are into the advertising business, how they can even advertise bad things and not be ashamed of it. We know how much alcohol has destroyed lives. We know how much alcohol has, resulted or has brought about broken homes. We know how alcohol has led many homeless. We know how, cigarette smoking has brought diseases and sicknesses and problems to people. And yet, we see people advertise these things as if with no shame. Tuborg and Carlsberg and all other kinds of beer is advertised, with no slightest, sense of guilt. And yet we all know medically, we all know socially the effect of these things on communities and nations and peoples and families. But they're not afraid. They ever advertise it as if it is good for you. And yet Christians, we know that Jesus repairs, builds, saves, delivers, heals. And we cannot, we are become quiet. You see, until we become radical, until we become, non-compromising, until we become, much more convincing about what we believe and dare to share it and dare to compel people, it will not have the right effect it's supposed to have. We must compel people. We must find ways. And we see, to compel is not to, force people into something, like hold their hands and push them. No. But to be convincing, to give a reasonable doubt that what you are giving them is best for them, is good for them. We must make our talents worthwhile. Hallelujah. We must make it worthwhile. You see, this man had prepared dinner. He had prepared supper. He knows what he was going to offer the people. So if we will have to let our talents become worthy or profitable, then we must know what we have. We must prepare ourselves. Your talent will be of no use if it cannot meet the needs of the people you want to exercise your talent over. So it's not just about having a talent. It's not just about having a knowledge of something. It's not just about having an ability to do anything, but it's more about how that talent can affect the one that is receiving it. It has to be profitable to them. And if you have to compel them, if you have to, convince them, then you must know what you have. You must be sure that you are prepared for them to receive. This man had prepared supper for them. And so when he sent the servants to go out and bring them in, he knew that they were coming for something good. Will somebody say amen? When you compel people, when you have that mindset of compelling people to believe or to be part of what you stand for or to do what you are also doing, you prepare yourself. Hallelujah. You have an influencing and impacting ability. You must be able to influence them. You must be able to affect them in one way or the other. You must be able to stand on what you stand for and prove to them that it can be a blessing to them. You must not give up on things that will discourage you. You must not give up on things that seem not to be working. If you have that, you know, compelling grace upon your life, if you have that compelling principle, if your mindset is made up that you want to convince somebody, you want to compel somebody, then you must be willing not to give up. A compelling person does not give up. Hallelujah. One of the other things that if you want your talent to be worthy or to be profitable to others is that you don't allow them to give excuses. You don't allow them to give excuses. Because a compelling attitude or mindset does not make room for excuses. The only reason why you now want to compel people is because the others gave excuses. The others who were invited for the dinner all gave excuses. Good excuses, reasonable excuses. But those who were compelled to come in could not give an excuse. You can only affect people who are willing to receive what you have. Amen. You can only be relevant to people who are willing to be affected by whatever you have to offer. You can only be a blessing to people who are willing and prepared to celebrate you. And so you can only allow your gifts, your talents, your knowledge, your ability to be a blessing to people who will not give excuses. Also to people that you will not allow to give excuses. See, sometimes we waste our energies and our time on people who have no regard for what we have. Amen? And that is why we have to find a way, because we want to offer them life. So we want to find a way not to make them give excuses. In fact, we will not take their excuse for anything. That is the one with that mindset of compelling people. You don't take people's excuses. Hallelujah. The other example that I want to give, if you and I want to be more effective in our exercising of our talents to see it produce the right fruit, is found in the book of Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. In Matthew chapter 11, and verse 11, this is what the Bible says. Very, verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there had not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithholding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Hallelujah. The violent takes it by force. The word "take it by force" here means, is in the Greek, is what they call biazo. Biazo. The violent takes it by force. In other words, if you and I must carry this message, if you and I have to exercise our talents and our giftings so that it becomes profitable to the people who are receiving it, we must have a biazo mindset. A mindset that enforces. A mindset that is not weak about what we stand for. We must enforce our faith. We must enforce our belief. We must enforce our principles. We must enforce our knowledge. Hallelujah. The Bible says that it is those who take it by force, hallelujah, that have things to do with the kingdom of God. It says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent takes it by force. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there are so many people who are going to hell in the world we live in today. There are so many unrighteous people. There are so many wicked people. There are so many, you know, deserted people. There are so many deprived people. There are so many people who have not even heard about the good news who are going to end up in hell. And I'm telling you, it only takes the violent, it only takes the biazo-minded person, it only takes that person who wants to do something to rescue these people from going to hell. We must have a mentality of making it work by all means. It must be an urgent call for us as believers. It must not be light. We must not take it lightly to see people heading towards condemnation. We must not take it lightly to see a whole nation not knowing about Jesus. If the records are right, then we are living in a sense of urgency. If the record says that less than 1% of this nation do not believe in Jesus, then we are in serious trouble. We have a sense of urgency, and we cannot take this nation for Christ just by, you know, having times of fellowship and having good songs going on and having our own good time. We cannot win this nation just by doing that. We must have a forceful way. We must have a mindset that has a sense of urgency with it. It is only those who take it by force. It is only those who have that sense of urgency, that sense of readiness, that will build the kingdom of God. We cannot, at the pace at which we are doing our things and, you know, all the unnecessary disagreement here and there, and all the delays here and there, and all the fight and all the splits here and there, doesn't show any signs of agency. Doesn't show any sign of we seeing people really heading towards condemnation. But if we have a biazo mindset, if we have the mindset that says that it is only the violent that takes it by force, if we have the mindset that says that we have to do everything, we have to preach the gospel with all sense of urgency. It's a sense of urgency that we will not waste time at all. That our program, that our activities will be activities that are geared towards presenting Jesus. It will not just be a fanfare here and there and all the things that we do without Jesus being the center. But I believe the time has come for us, if we really want to make use of our talents, if we really want to be profitable, if we really want Jesus to tell us, good and faithful servant, you've done well, come into my rest, then we have to have a sense of forcefulness.
Hallelujah. We have to have a sense of forcefulness. If we have a sense of forcefulness, we will not only be preaching nine sermons. Nine sermons are good, but the urgency of stopping people from going to hell is so crucial that nine sermons will not do that. People must be made to know what will lead them to hell and what will lead them to heaven. The Bible says that there are two roads. One road is very broad, very, very broad, and many prefer to take that road. That road leads to condemnation. But then there is a little road that is so narrow. It's not an easy road, but that road leads to heaven. You see, if we don't preach the truth to people, they'll find something else to make them think that they are going to heaven. You know, in today's church, we don't talk more about heaven anymore or hell anymore. We don't remind people of where we'll be spending eternity. Because whether we like it or not, there are three things. Either hell is real, or heaven is real, or none of them. And people have to make a choice. Do you want to go to the none of them, or you want to go to hell, or you want to go to heaven? I think a wise person would want to choose heaven. Hallelujah. Because you don't want to end up after death to know that really there is a heaven and a hell. Somebody said it in a very interesting way. He says, if I die and there is no heaven and hell, I have nothing to lose. But if I die and there is a heaven and a hell, and I have not lived for the Lord Jesus, then I'm going to end up in hell. And so I think I would rather walk with Jesus. But you see, we cannot present this message in a non-forceful way. We cannot present this message in a mild, nice, sugar-coated, or it doesn't matter, you know, kind of way. We must have a biazo anointing and grace to do it. The third mentality we must have in order to make our talents worthwhile or profitable is when we develop a mentality that in the Greek is called anaideia, N-A-I-D-E-I-A. It means to be shameless. It means to be shameless. It also means to be, to speak of, it also speaks of importunity. In the 11th chapter of Luke chapter 11 and verse 8, the Bible says, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, because of his shamelessness, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Hallelujah. The story is told of a man who went to the neighbor to ask for bread because he's got, you know, visitors. And this man went and asked the friend, you know, it's not very common for people to just go and ask for bread and say, well, I've got visitors, I need food for them, so please give me food and give for, that I may give to them. But the Bible calls this man a shameless person. Not shameless in the negative sense of it, but shameless in the sense that he was a man, because of his importunity, he took advantage of the situation. He took advantage of the situation. He took advantage of the fact that, you know, the friend said because of his importunity, because he took advantage of the situation, because he was shameless. Sometimes we are unable to exercise our talents because we allow, you know, certain things to stop us from doing it. You can sing, but because you are ashamed, you feel shy. Somebody comes your way in need, and you don't take the opportunity to lay hands on the person. Though the person tells you, I am sick in this part of my body. Unless we have that mindset of being shameless, of taking opportunities, we will not be able to make our gifts profitable. We can have the gift, we can have the talent, we can have the knowledge, but what profit does it make if we have the knowledge, but we cannot, you know, transfer the knowledge into reality? The Bible says, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, because of his shamelessness, Anadeia, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Hallelujah. Because of his importunity, we must be a people of importunity. We must be shameless in our exercising of the gift, of the talent that we have. We must be, you know, fearless. We must not think, oh, what is he going to think? What is he going to say? If we would have the right impact that God wants us to have, both as individuals and as a church, we must have this mindset. Not to think of how the outcome is going to be. The Bible says that the friend heeded and gave him because of his importunity, because of his shamelessness. Hallelujah. Sometimes we are ashamed of propagating the gospel. We are ashamed of sharing the gospel. We are ashamed of telling people about Jesus. We are ashamed of doing things that has a potential of giving us a testimony. Until I decided that I would begin to pray for the sick, I would never have had a testimony of praying for the sick to see them healed. Until I decided that I would make altar calls, I would never have had people responding to the altar call and being saved at my meetings, much more even in the church. We must not allow circumstances to dictate to us when and how to use our talents. We can only be profitable when we dare to use the talent, when we are shameless of it, when we are shameless, when we don't think about what people are going to say, when we are fearless, when we take the opportunity, when we take advantage of the situation. There are so many situations that come our way that God actually expects us to make use of. And many a times we fail to make use of them. How do you and I make use of our talents? How do we make it worthwhile? How do we make it profitable? How do we make it impactful? How do we make it, you know, gracious? How do we make it in such a way that, you know, people can benefit from it? Your gift, your talent is meant to profit. It's meant to yield a result. And until you have these mindsets, until you have this compelling mindset, until you have this, you know, attitude that you will not take no excuse from anyone that you are presenting the gospel to, from anyone that you are using your God-given talent to bless. Because sometimes the devil makes them give the excuse so they cannot experience the blessing, so that to stop your talent from being profitable. You have to understand that the enemy always is on guard to stop you from making your talent unprofitable. He wants you to keep your talent to yourself. He wants you to keep it in your pocket, in your mind. You know, sometimes we even become more proud. You know, we don't use our talent, but we are proud. We, you know, we think that we have it. But what does it profit any man if you have your talent and it can't be a blessing to anybody? The Bible describes us as wicked, unprofitable, as lazy. You are lazy if you have a talent and you don't use it. And you see, God is not going to take our excuses. He's not going to say, well, you know, the people are not prepared to receive it. You see, even though in Galilee, the people did not receive the people did not believe in Jesus, he still performed miracles. Did you read that the Bible says that he did not perform any miracle? Is that what you read? The Bible says that he did what? He did little. He still performed miracles. It was not as plenty as other places, but he still, even though the people gave excuses, even though the people had a reason that they had positioned themselves not to receive his talent, his gifting, he still made his giftings relevant. So let us stop giving all the excuses for the people. Amen. That they will not listen. They don't want to come to church. You know, Pastor, I've tried. I've been talking to my friends. No. Find a way. Be compelling. Find a way. There is something you can do to compel them to come to church. There is something. You see, Jesus, unbelief is the worst enemy for a miracle. Even in that situation, Jesus did miracles. Amen. So we have no excuse. It's only when we have that, you know, forceful. Say, since the day of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violence takes it by force. We have to be forceful in this present world. You see the way, you know, in every discipline, you see how competitive it has become to survive. In organizations, in businesses, in politics, in education, whatever it is. That is, it has become a rat race. You have to have a forceful spirit, a forceful mindset, not in the negative way, but for the kingdom. When you wake up in the morning, you have to think of ideas and ways and means. Is it to be forceful? It's not necessarily to be aggressive. No, that's what I'm talking about. Finding ways and means, methods, ideas, innovations, using all necessary means to get the message of the kingdom across. Hallelujah. That is what we are talking about. That is a forceful person. I don't know whether this is used in Danish, but in some African circles, we can say this person is forceful. It means this person is daring. This person doesn't give up. A forceful person doesn't give up. The word force there is not force like hit the person on the neck, force you to. No, you can't force anybody. Jesus didn't force us. But you have to have that compelling, passionate, you know, it's the same as saying you are passionate about something. Have you met a passionate person before? They don't say no for anything. If they are passionate about it. My son Joel is passionate. He wants to do music and he's passionate. No matter how much advice I have given this boy that, hey, do something else. Oh yeah, if you are passionate about something, you are passionate about it. My son says he wants to do music. And his music, I'm not talking about gospel. He wants to, he say he wants to make it big. Like all the big people, all the music, the music that you know. That's why he says he wants to. I've talked, I've prayed for him. I've come and said, please go to school. Sometimes he will like, he'll be like, you know, then the thing will come again. And in recent times, the guy is like, you go on Facebook, you see him. He said he's made a song. And the whole thing is on Facebook. And then now he's even getting more encouraged to do the thing that I've been praying for. So me, I just keep quiet. He's passionate. He's finding all, you know, he wake up in the morning and he's finding ways and means that I don't see, I'm not, you know, the way the ideas are coming, I don't know. But I was saying to myself, if this boy, the way this guy is passionate and finding ways and means to bring out the things he wants to do, God, give me that grace to really now go into serious prayer, and not only that, but give me ideas. Let me find ways and means of bringing this message of the good news to the world. That is being forceful. That is having a Boaz mindset. And then thirdly, to have that importuned spirit. That same, you know, you are not ashamed. You see, in this world today, if you are ashamed of what you stand for, you will never affect anybody. Have you seen all those activists? The feminist activist, homosexual activist, you know, whatever activist, you know, BZ activist, you know, active. They are not ashamed. There is nothing like shame. There is nothing like shame. If you believe in it, you stick your head out. And it's time for us to stick our head out for what we stand for. Stick your head out. It's not we have not been asked to fight. We are not Muslims. But you see, if the Muslim, they are told to fight, they are told that, look, if you don't believe it, you are an enemy. You know, they are told to kill. And so that's what they do. They are told that, look, if you kill yourself and you die for Islam, oh, plenty gift for you. And so they do it. They are passionate. They are not ashamed. They are not afraid. But the message of the gospel is love, is peace, is righteousness, is transformation, is change, is rebuilding, is restoring. And we are ashamed. Why must you be ashamed of preaching love? Why must you be ashamed of salvation? Why must you and I be ashamed of transforming life, building families, building relationships, bringing restoration? That is the message of the gospel. We should never be ashamed. You should never be ashamed of identifying yourself as a believer and belonging to a Bible-believing church. You should never be ashamed. If you are ashamed, there's something wrong with you. Then you can never do any good. Because you see, the fact is, you know, you cannot have any influence if you don't believe in what you have. That's why they are succeeding. You think that if people who feel that, you know, some of these things are right, if you think that they are ashamed and they are timid, they will get this far. Oh no, they are not ashamed at all. They are not ashamed. They are not ashamed of the consequences. They are not ashamed of even who will vote for them or not. You see, and there are many things we can name. This day, there are some strange movements that are coming up, strange, but they're not ashamed. Strange. You see, and that is a godly principle. Jesus taught it. He said, because of his importunity. You see, and we also remember the story of the woman, last point, then I'll pray with us. The widow who went to the wicked judge and persistently, and the wicked judge said, because of her persistence, Normally, I wouldn't do it. Under normal circumstances, I would not even bother her. But because of the persistence, consistency, I will do it. That is the way we have to handle the talents God gives us. Your talent will not benefit any. In fact, it will not even benefit you. In fact, it will rather create problems for you. I believe that if this one with the one talent did not receive the talent, he would be okay. It would just be no problem for him. Some of us, the worst that happened to us is that we had talents, that we have gifts. You should have prayed that you didn't have it. But thank God, hallelujah. The devil will not stop us from exercising our God-given that talent. The devil will not stop us from making our talents profitable. It has to be profitable. And it doesn't matter how big or small or relevant or irrelevant. The master told them, look, you could have even kept, you didn't have to even do anything. You could have just kept it in the bank and it would have yielded something. So I realized that sometimes it's not even how much the produce is, but it must produce something. If the man had yielded something, he would have been also be saying, you've done well. It's not big, but you've done well. Is somebody being blessed this afternoon? There is a gift in there. There is something in there. There is something in there. And please don't only think about, you know, speaking in tongues, prophesying, what are some of the other gifts? Working miracles. You want to start raising the dead and working of miracles. And no, I mean, those things, they are automatic. They will come. But they are gifts. They are things that you can do for the kingdom. And it's time you found out. You can't be in this church forever without finding something God has given you to do. Amen? Amen. Then you are at the wrong place. You are at the wrong place. There must be something that God has for you to do. You must be profitable. You must make your talent wealthy, profitable. And it's time we change our mind and our attitude and our approach. Don't let the excuses overwhelm you. Amen. You are working, and so what? Do you work 24 hours a day? No. You can do something. You can arrange your own time. You can do something. We just have to be smart. Don't let the world become smarter than us. We can be smart. In workplaces today, they have what we call a flex, whatever. You know, people can arrange their own time. It's a normal working time. But they can arrange that, okay, I'll not come in the morning, I'll come in the evening, or I'll do my work at home. So I can do other things. You think if it was not working, they would allow it? That people can stay in their home and work from home? They will start thinking, but you will spend it. Maybe they will sleep or something. They will not work. But they do it. It works. You see, so we must begin to think out of the traditional thoughts or plans of doing things. The world has changed, but the word has not changed. Amen. And we can be passionate about the kingdom. Hallelujah. It's a great thing to serve the Lord. It's a great thing to serve the Lord. We are blessed. We are privileged. I'm so thankful to God. I'm so thankful to God for revealing himself to me, for making me know Jesus. I'm so thankful. I don't know what I'll be doing. I don't know what would have happened to me. But I'm thankful to God. You and I must be thankful to God that we know Jesus in such a time as this, in this era that we live in, that you know Jesus. And we must not be ashamed. We must not be ashamed. Hallelujah. We must find ways and means of bringing the people into the kingdom.
so we can fulfill our destiny. The Bible says that if we first seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, God will add all the other things unto us. Hallelujah. I don't know about you this afternoon, but I believe strongly that God is stirring your heart and God is motivating you. God is telling you that there is a lot you can do for me. Hallelujah. And so I want us to pray. I want us to rise up now if you want to pray. But before we do that prayer, I don't want you to leave this place without having convinced yourself that you know Jesus, that He is your Lord and your Savior. The Bible says that He loved the world, that He gave Jesus, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus loves you. Jesus cares for you. And He doesn't want you to end up in hell. He wants you to end up in heaven. Heaven is a place where God dwells with all the saints that have believed on Jesus. The Bible says that a double-minded person is unstable in all his ways. You must be certain of where you will go from here. And so this afternoon, if for any reason you have a doubt that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior, I want to give you that opportunity to say, Lord Jesus, I come to you. I repent of my sins, and I want you from today to be my Lord and my Savior. Don't think about how many times you come to church. Don't think about, you know, what you even do in church. But if you have the slightest doubt, if you're not sure of your salvation, and if you have not given your life to Jesus before, but this afternoon you want to make a commitment to Him, as every eye is closed, lift up your hands, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. This is a very crucial time. It's a very important moment in the service. If deep down in your heart you want to surrender your life to Jesus, I want you to walk up here right now. We're going to pray together with you. And we're going to encourage you. We're going to stand with you so that you would serve the Lord with all your heart in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there anybody like that? Is there anybody like that? You want to give your life to Jesus? God bless you. Is there anybody like that? You want to totally surrender your life to the Master? There are so many things He wants to do with you. There are so many things He wants to work through you. You see, there's no way you can be fulfilled. There's no way you can exercise that talent, that gift, outside of full commitment to Jesus. And so once again, even as we've all lifted our hands to heaven, if you are here and you want to make a commitment, you are not sure of your salvation, you doubt it, or you have not given your life to Jesus, let this day be the day of rest for you. Come. He will save you. He will deliver you. He will restore you and make you a brand new person. Is there anybody else like that here this afternoon? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's pray this prayer together with our sister. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for loving me and giving yourself for me. This afternoon, I want to be sure that if you should come, I will be with you. And so this afternoon, I ask you, Lord Jesus, forgive me of every sin, of every wrongdoing that I ever committed. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. From today onwards, make me sure of my salvation. Heavenly Father, I pray, help me, Lord, to choose to be at the right place with the right people and to do the right thing. I thank you for shedding your blood for me and saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Stretch forth your hand. Let's pray for our sister. Heavenly Father, I thank you for my dear sister. I pray for her right now, O God. I thank you, Lord, for the bold step, O God. Thank you that, Lord, you have something in store for her. Lord, to openly declare you as her Lord and her Savior. Father, in Jesus' name, may everything that you have in store for her come forth. Anything that has been stopped by the enemy, anything that has been hindered by forces of darkness, from today I release her. I release her into her destiny. I release her into her giftings and talents. In the name of Jesus, I pray, let her be a blessing, O God. I rebuke the plans of the enemy, and I pray that restoration shall come to her. Father, bless her and bless her indeed. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with thanksgiving. And the church will say, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands to heaven. Lift up your hands to heaven. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, I give you praise. Begin to thank the Lord for today. Begin to pray and thank the Lord for today. You want to pray? Some of you already know your areas of giftings and talents. Some of you don't even know. But wherever it is, for those of you who know, pray that God will help you become more profitable in your giftings. And if you are here this afternoon and you don't even know, pray that God would reveal your talents. God will show you your giftings. And even as God shows them to you, God will make you profitable. God will make you a blessing. Your gifts are to be a blessing. Your giftings, your gifts and your talents are to motivate, they are to build, they are to establish. I pray in the name of Jesus that your gift will be a blessing, that your gift will be received, that your gift will make a difference, that your gift will impact, that your gift will change lives. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we release your right hand, O God. Father, I pray and I declare, may your people rise up, O God, to fulfill destiny. May your people rise up, O God, yes, Lord, yes, to provide and to do that which you've called them to do. Father, I rebuke every plan, every dying, every lifeless gift. I command to come alive again. I command every talent to be resurrected. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray that you will establish your people, O God. Give us a mindset, O God, to compel. Give us a mindset, O God, to forcefully, yes, God, give us a mindset, O God, not to be ashamed of the gospel, not to be ashamed of exercising our gift and our talents. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, I give you praise. Lord, I give you praise right now. Father, I release your grace upon your people right now. Father, I release talents upon their lives right now. Father, I release gifts upon their lives right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray that God, they will fulfill their destiny. I pray that, Lord, they will exercise their gift. I pray that, Lord, they will be profitable. Profitable to themselves, profitable to their family, profitable to their ministry, profitable to their communities. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I rebuke the works of enemy over their lives, O God. Whatever is hindering any one of them, O God, to be passionate, O God. Yes, Lord, to exercise their calling and their giftings. Father, whatever is standing in the way, this afternoon, I lift up your hand. I break it into pieces, O God. I release your people into being fruitful. I release them into being a blessing. I release them, O God, into being impactful. In the name of Jesus. Father, I give you praise. I give you praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the church. I thank you for every one of us who are here. I thank you for those who are already, Lord, exercising their talent and their gift. I thank you for the many blessings, O God, that you have shown. I ask the Lord you would bless these ones. I ask the Lord you will increase them. I thank you for the many more that you are going to add up, O God. Lord, to expand your kingdom and to make a difference. I pray that God, your mighty hand will rest upon their lives, rest upon their families, rest upon the ministry in the name of Jesus. I give you glory and I give you praise and I give you honor. In Jesus' name, I pray with thanksgiving. And the church will say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 just before you sit down, if there's anybody here who has been diagnosed by the doctors for something, and you're afraid of the outcome, I just want to pray for you. You are here this afternoon, and health-wise, you are afraid of your health. Something has been told you, and you are not very happy about it. I just want to pray for you if you are here. Hallelujah. Is there anybody like that? Thank you, Jesus. Yes, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you are here, you've not been diagnosed, but certain thoughts come to you. You are afraid of something about your health. If you are here, I want to pray for you. There's something about somebody's health in this place right now. Hallelujah. I just want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You've not been diagnosed, but you are afraid. You are afraid of a health issue. Yes, Lord. Is there anybody else? It's more than one person. It's more than one person. You are afraid of the outcome. You are afraid of the situation. Yes, God bless you. It's okay. I think I had four in mind. Praise the Lord. Come. Please stretch out your arms. Hallelujah. This is the role of the church. This is what church is about. Church steps in and breaks the yoke. Church comes together and with one voice. The Bible says that if two or three shall agree on a thing, it shall be established. So you want to lift up your voice. You want to break the spirit of fear. You want to reverse whatever sickness, whatever disease. You want to break that chain. You want to set them free. You want to bring back joy and peace. Father, I thank you for your daughter. I release your grace right now. I break every spirit of fear, every spirit of doubt. I come against every voice of the enemy, every voice of the enemy that brings panic and brings fear. I rebuke it now in the name of the Lord. I release your healing hand. Father, we stop that sickness. We stop that disease. It shall not manifest in the name of the Lord. It shall not manifest in Jesus' mighty name. Father, I thank you for my brother, oh God. I decree and I declare, whatever it is, it shall not manifest. It shall not bring to death. It shall not bring to a loss. But Father, in Jesus' name, supernaturally, I release your healing hand. I release your grace. I release your power. Father, deliver. Father, save. Father, establish in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I come against every plan of the enemy. I come against confusion. I curse fear. I curse doubt. Go in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Shame my tire. Father, I thank you for my brother. I pray. Whatever fear, oh God, whatever doubt, whatever questions, I pray. Lord, you are able. I ask that, Father, ye kalomo shaka tabakaya. It will not be unto inconvenience. It will not be unto death. It will not be unto pain. It will not be, oh God, ye makataya, unto a malfunction. In Jesus' mighty name, I stop the plans of the enemy. I stop the work of Satan. In Jesus' mighty name, hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your daughter. I release her. I release her from every fear, from every attack, from every burden, from every uncertainty. In the name of the Lord, I pray peace. I pray peace. I pray peace in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a clap offering. He deserves it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please be seated for a minute. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you for listening. I don't take it for granted. For me, it's always a joy to minister the word and to see that people are receiving the word. Hallelujah. But you see, the Bible says that we should not only be hearers of the word, but doers of it. I'll be more glad to hear and to see that, you know, people are doing the word that they heard. Amen. So I pray that you'll be a doer of the word. Hallelujah. And before I sit down, I just want you to pray for myself and Pastor Clara, and generally also for the ministry. The Lord is opening some other doors for us outside. We will be going to India next week, Monday, for missions. The Lord has opened some doors there for church planting and to train leaders and pastors and to organize some seminars as well. So I want the whole church to be praying for us that the doors that the Lord has opened for us in India will be the beginning of many more international doors that the Lord will open, and that the work that the Lord will begin or start there with us will grow and expand and be a blessing to many others. You know, the success of the missions is your success. And so I ask that you pray and support us in whatever way you can. We'll bring you reports as to what the Lord is doing. Hallelujah. So God bless you. And we'll see you again. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. What are we saying to our Papa? God bless you. God bless you. Let us pray. Now I want us all to lift our pastor before the Lord, our senior pastor, and his family. We just want to just lift them before the throne. Let us cover them with the blood of Jesus Christ. And let us pray for all the plans God have for them. Let us pray that the hand of God will rest upon them. God will give them the grace, the strength for every step. And the Lord will direct their going out and coming in. May the Lord preserve them in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Father, for your servant. We thank you, Father, for using him to be a blessing to us. In the name of Jesus, we stand together as a family. And Father, we cover him and his entire family. Lord, under the blood of Jesus Christ, we destroy the plans of the enemy. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray, as Lord Paul said, great door is open, but many other adversary. Father, we come against any enemy, any force that may stand against the doors that have been opened. Father, we destroy them in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, right now we pray for Joel. We lift him before the throne. Father, we ask you, the Lord, the talent and the gift that is in him, Father, let it be used for the kingdom. Let the music be used for the kingdom. Let the talent in him be used for the kingdom. We ask you, the Lord, you bless him. Visit him in the name of Jesus. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's share the grace. Please hold somebody by the hand and let's share the grace together. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. We shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Please turn to that neighbor and tell that neighbor, it's time to serve the Lord.
Oh yeah!